listen to two married lesbians discuss an LGBTQ plus book each month that highlights the queer human condition as they use connection and humor to relate the issues to us as a queer community. She's Anna.
And she's Miranda.
I am. And we're two married lesbians.
We are.
And we're all queer here. And we're back.
We are ending the year talking about the awkward middle school years.
Well, I can't think of no better way to wrap up 2023 than talking about awkward.
Yes. So junior high is suggested by Publishers Weekly for ages 10 and up. Yet, as always, we encourage parents to make the final decision for what reading material is right for their children.
Sure.
So Tegan and Sarah wrote the words, and then Tilly Walden did the art. I'm just going to read the back cover because professionals wrote it, so here it goes. In case you're not familiar with Tegan and Sarah Quinn, they've sold well over 1 million records and have shared the stage with artists like Taylor Swift, Paramore, and Katy Perry. They sang Everything is Awesome in the Lego Movie.
It's so good.
It is. And are executive producers of the TV series High School, based on their best-selling adult memoir. In 2016, they created the Tegan and Sarah Foundation, which fights for health, economic justice, and representation for LGBTQ plus people. The twin sisters currently reside in Vancouver, British Columbia. Tilly Walden is a fabulous person. That's my edit. is a cartoonist and an illustrator who is a twin from Austin, Texas. She has published numerous graphic novels, including her Eisner Award-winning memoir, Spinning. She currently lives in Lebanon, New Hampshire, with her cat, Stan. Also, my edit, she is queer.
That is a cool name for a cat, though, Stan.
It is pretty cool. So when I found out she was doing their graphic novel, which is loosely based on their life, I was really excited. And if you look this up in Goodreads, it says Tegan and Sarah, number one. And then if you read the back, it says that their next one is called Tegan and Sarah Crush, which goes deeper into their crushes and how they crush middle school.
And how they are crushed by middle school.
Right. So I would imagine so. So anyway, so this is, I guess, the series. Yeah. And I loved the artwork on the cover that you've got, you know, guitar and backpack and pizza and clothes. And then you've got two bras there. One right by, I think it's Sarah's nose. And then one in the corner. She can't miss. You know, they got to conceal the breasts.
Like a handgun. So you conceal
carry license.
Can't just
walk around. You don't just carry your gun around and set it on the counter when you check out with your debit card. Like,
I don't know, it's Texas, babe. I feel like I've seen that.
No, you need your hands to do things like drive or eat and drive or eat and drink.
Whoa, like, don't drink and drive.
No, like drinking soda.
This is bad advice.
No, like I'm always like drinking coffee on my way to work. So like same. It's very one-handed in the morning.
Yeah. I'm not sure how bras factor into one-handedness.
Well, because
were you frequently
oh, like holding
were
it
you
up?
Holding them up?
No,
before you
but like
a
if
bra?
You run without a bra,
oh,
you've ever
that's
held
a,
them without a bra while you run.
It's
I have because they just fly in directions. It's but not comically. Like it's like a tragedy. Like they're not in sync.
Uh-huh.
They're not like bloop bloop bloop. They're like bloop bloop. It's like boomerangs, but they keep coming back to you.
Yeah.
Like I guess boomerang
enough.
Does. So.
Yes, that's, yep.
All right. So I feel like also, so if you don't know Tegan and Sarah's music, like you should.
Yeah. Stop the podcast for a moment.
Yeah,
pause
just
it.
Go to
go
iTunes
look them up.
Or YouTube. Mm-hmm. I mean, just some fantastic.
Just any music database. What do you call it? Library? Music service? Look them up.
I said iTunes. I
they're the best.
I mean, that's, yeah. So this premise, and you know, they mention it in kind of the reader note, they did move around a lot as kids. And so this premise is that their stepdad moves in and so they need a bigger house, which I guess just, he takes up so much room.
We got a snoring pug.
We are boring. Yeah. Okay. their stepdad just takes up so much room that they have to move to a new house.
Mm.
So that's unfortunate. And they have to change schools. So that's kind of where we're at. And
but like in the book, they were talking about that made them now closer to their dad, which I mean.
Oh, their dad? Yeah.
Yeah, their dad, not their stepdad, Bruce. Right. Bruce Batman, whatever his last name is.
I have to say there are a lot of touch points in this book that I definitely like transporting myself back to middle school
in the
Miranda.
70s.
No. Every time you talk about how old I am, I get older.
Weren't you also in middle school in the 90s when this was originally? Like, they talk about this in the reader's note that they're...
They would have been several years ahead of me, but yeah. I was in middle school, what would have been like 96 through 98. Wait, 96? Yeah, you know, in that area.
I'm not going to fact check you.
Please don't fact check me.
I'm not going to put any energy
I'm just trying
that.
To remember what the yearbooks look like.
And by that, I mean call your mother, because
yeah,
that won't
my
be
mom.
A short conversation.
No.
Like, hey, what years? Okay, and then, like, try to hang up, and I mean, I guess you can, because, you know, it's a phone, so you have the ability
to hang
up.
You do have the ability.
But then she'll just keep going, and you're
like, oh,
I'm stuck in this
She'll
cycle.
Call you back and be like, I lost you.
Oh, no, I gave up on that. So, anyway. Yeah, I thought it... So, we've got to talk about it, because, like, I'm curious why they put it in modern times.
Well, I think because...
Because, like, the 90s are in.
I know the
Look
90s
at the fashion.
Are in. I do think the way that they did this was really smart, because if you're in middle school now, which is ostensibly who will be reading this for the most part, that's the audience, right, that you're aiming for, they... Yeah, the 90s are in, and they kind of wove in some of the 90s stuff. Like, they were watching a movie on a VHS player. They were talking about listening to cassette tapes. And so, like, they wove in a lot of the
nostalgic
parts of the 90s, but in a really smart way that would appeal to
the older demographic.
The kids that are in school
in
now.
School. Okay, because I was like, it didn't appeal to me. It's not nostalgic. It's just what I grew up with. Like, it's not
Well, but that's
that
what nostalgia
yet.
Is.
Yeah, I know. But, like, am I that old yet?
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yes,
thanks.
We're that old, babe. I'm so sorry.
That's harmful.
I know.
That's harsh.
We need to understand that we are the age we are. Mm-hmm. And we're in our 30s.
Taylor Swift is my age.
I know. So, see how great you are?
Yeah.
See? No problem.
Uh-huh.
You are Taylor Swift's age. The end. Like, it's great. It's perfection.
I'm just curious. I think I would have liked to have seen... what that 90s Jaffer looked like. Because, like, some of my classic memories of school, because we didn't have cell phones, and when we did, it was, like, you had to, like, count to text, you know?
A.
Yeah.
Okay. C.
Yeah. Yeah, like, okay. Was passing notes, and that's how you got bullied. But then you destroy it so no one saw it, so there was no proof to tell them, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but, like, one of my favorite things about middle school, high school... was you had a shoebox full of all the little notes that were folded up.
Now you had to, like, fold it in this elaborate,
in
and sometimes
really
you couldn't
cool
refold
way.
It very
oh,
well.
Oh, no.
And that was
yeah.
half the class. That's why you missed the notes, because you're trying to refold this and stick it in your pocket.
Yep. But, like, that was the coolest thing. And so you'd have this treasure trove in your room of all this.
And you could revisit.
Clandestine correspondence. Mm-hmm. And you could unfold it and reread it and then share it and be like, oh, my gosh, look what so-and-so sent me. I love that. I do think it's kind of sad that kids now don't...
Know how to write?
Don't...
Is that because of texting? It's all short and sweet? There's not a longer
Well, there is something to be said for that. That has become a cultural thing that a lot of people don't... They don't write...
Long form
anymore, yeah. Because, I mean, even when you look at, like, a lot of the way that we work has changed, like, Slack is social media for work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ideally you shouldn't write in Slack the way you would text somebody in the 90s when you paid by the letter or line or whatever.
I, letter C, letter U.
I see you. Oh,
number two.
Right here somewhere.
Because that's how you did it.
Yeah, because you were trying to get around the fact that it costs so much money.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
ostensibly time.
To count
yeah.
to text, yeah. Because it was like 10 cents a text. But and you would get them and they would say, like, one of two, because sometimes they'd come out of order and they'd gone over the text allowance. So they were getting charged twice.
Mm.
You really had to be concise. It was a lesson
It was a different time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, right, so the stepdad took up all this room. I loved the awkwardness around bras early on, because I really think that's universal.
Yep. Well, to people that grow up with boobs.
Well, yeah, I think that's a universal, awkward experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember the awkwardness of like my first bra shopping, and I remember thinking the sports bras were a lot better, but yet my mom insisted that I get this like white. It had like lace on it.
Oh, like, and like a little rose in the middle.
Oh yeah, they always had a rose in them. Who's putting up roses in the middle?
I mean, these are not bras that anybody should be seeing. You're young.
No, like they're...
I mean, the washer is
nobody in middle school is sexy. Like, well, you're a child.
But also, I guess, like, you want to look pretty when you... But you really shouldn't be wearing that bra, I guess, if you change into it in gym class. I don't know.
Oh, let's talk about changing in gym class. Because, yeah, I mean, there was a scene where, I guess they were talking about Avery and, like, looked over at her.
Yeah, and she was changing.
And she was talking to them without a shirt on.
Yeah. Had a full coverage bra on.
Yeah, and then then because she's a mean girl, I really greatly disliked Avery. She's got to have some stuff going on at home.
I think we're supposed to like dislike her.
I know, but like, she's just awful, irredeemably awful. And then, oh boy, he's really got a dream going, doesn't he? Snoring pugs.
Hard life.
Mm.
It's the holidays are hard on them.
Yeah, for sure.
There's so much cheer. They just straining for them.
Yeah.
All the food, too. It's like, I just got to eat it all, you know.
You would be foolish not to. But anyway, like, it reminded me of... Because, like, obviously I wasn't... I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, I wasn't out in middle school, not by a long shot. But I remember locker rooms being so fraught with tension that I didn't really understand. And like, I tried so hard not to ever look at any, like, just look at the ground, or you might, I don't know, explode/die. How did you feel about locker rooms?
Well, I would go into the stall and change.
Which stalls? That's not fair.
Well, there were bathrooms.
Oh.
It was in the locker room.
Those were always taken. I could never get them.
Okay. Well, yeah. I just felt uncomfortable taking my shirt off because, like, they're strangers. So, like, I really didn't have to do that till 9th grade, but I didn't start public school till 8th grade. So, because I had, like...
6th grade was the worst, so that's a blessing that you got to skip that.
Yeah.
In public school.
Yeah. Well, I didn't because it was 9th grade and I had to take a change. So, I was like, I'm not taking my shirt off in front of people. Like, and it's also, like, I mean... I just kind of bought what was comfortable because I wasn't super well endowed until like later in high school. So it's like,
me neither.
It wasn't going to be like the cool bra. It was going to be like the comfortable, whatever Walmart had, you know, and there was probably a 3-pack.
Do they sell comfortable bras?
I don't
in Walmart?
Know, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was probably a 3-pack. It was probably
I feel
simple.
Like bras were more comfortable when we had less cup size. Like, I feel like the older I've...
Like, you know what I mean?
Like, when I was an A...
The more bosom, the less comfort? Okay.
Yeah, because there's, like, more action happening to... No.
There shouldn't be the bra. What do you? What type of bra is that? Are you talking about a nursing bra?
No. No, I mean, like, there's more to hold on to? I don't know. I just feel like...
The basket's fuller.
The basket's fuller. So there's more stress. Like, I don't know. I have such a complicated relationship with bras. Like, I wish I didn't need them, but I want my breasts to be in the place they should be. I don't want them to hang low. I don't want that.
I'm just curious what, like, whatever you believe about creation, like, what was the intended outcome? Because, like, I think pants eventually, like, God was like, yeah, we'll figure it out. They need pants. But, like, I don't know that bras, you know, because, like, I see grown men walking around with, like, a basic undershirt, and I can see your nipples when you're cold. I don't want to see that.
Well, I don't think they care.
I know. But, like, why can't I show my nipples? I don't know. I'm taking this to a weird way.
Shirt?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, like, that's so blatant. Like, I can think of so many men, whether it's a presentation or
a teacher, all these people.
And they're wearing these really thin button-downs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would imagine a thin undershirt. Like, what's the point? You can see it all anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no one's telling you to put on a thicker shirt. So, like, why can't I wear a thicker shirt that you can't see anything?
Mm-hmm.
And
I think you should be able to.
You know, bob around a bit.
I appreciate the example you provided.
You're welcome. Yes, I did. Yep. But I just, yeah, there's always been discomfort around bras. I remember being a teenager and being, I don't know if my mom thought it was cool. Mm-hmm. I think my sister talked her into it. Mm. I was like, let me take her to Victoria's Secret and we'll have like this skilled human, like, because I was thinner then. Yeah. This skilled human, like, measure her for her custom size. And I'm like, okay. But it was.
I had a friend talk me into that.
We got like an iced coffee and we went mm-hmm. and did this. And I, you know, bought an expensive bra, but and you felt, you know, cool because it was this really soft material. Mm-hmm. Didn't change the comfort level. Like, you know,
wasn't like more comfortable.
It wasn't magic. I do think they're more comfortable when you're wearing your right size, but there's also like a special, like, not a special, but I think there's like a certain fit that is right for people.
Mm, that I agree.
Can take a long time to figure out.
Well, yeah. And like, so I struggle with like two parts. So like you hit on one of them is like the fit, the correct fit, and the correct style for like you. Because I think that if, for me, I have a larger cup size and I think it matters if I can find bras with a wider strap. The thinner the strap, the more uncomfortable it is.
Yeah. Nothing dainty about these girls.
Like, no, there's no daintiness happening. But like, also, and I know this sounds weird, but at this age, I wish, and I hope that when these words come out of my mouth, you're like, yes, that. Mm-hmm. But maybe you're not, and that's okay. Somebody out there will be like, yes, that. Why can't they make not sports bras, like regular bras, that look masculine?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I want. Give me a masculine looking.
But with a little regular, bit more support than, give me than like a faux sports bra.
And I don't want the uniboob. I want them to have their separate identities. Mm-hmm. But I just...
Lift and separate.
Lift and separate.
Because sometimes like there'll be like a cute bralette.
Mm. See, yeah, and I'm already out. I'm
I know,
lost.
Yeah,
I'm out.
I know, but like my, I have a dinosaur one. That one's kind of more masculine, mm-hmm. but the fit, once you put it on, is very feminine, and mm-hmm. it defaults to uniboob, mm-hmm. and there's very little support, and I can't mm-hmm. wear it with a lot of things, mm-hmm. and it's like, I should be, you know, unless like color-wise, you know, you can't wear a certain color bra with like a white.
Do we just not have enough bra scientists out there?
Certain types of bras can't go with certain clothes, so you want to kind of buy what goes with most of your wardrobe, and that's tough. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
I feel like
we
could crack this nut.
But we're not looking. Maybe we've just given up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't have enough bra scientists. So we need to inspire the children of today to become the bra scientists of tomorrow. Be the change you want to see in the world. Mm-hmm. That means we have to become the bra scientists, I suppose.
No. I'm not taking on that challenge.
Okay, so...
Their friend
bra scene was pretty wild.
I feel
wild.
Like it was really realistic.
Yeah. That's how I felt.
Mom that was like, she was like, I still feel awkward. No, no, no. Like, you still feel awkward about what? Your body? Don't say that to your kid. I was very curious about that line. Because think she just kind of meant like, that was the period maybe when she came out with the period. And so she still feels awkward about certain things.
Mm,
But before we get to that mess... literal and figurative. Their old friend is it Faza? Faza? I don't know because I, you know, was reading it.
Fasia.
So. Fasia is feeling like an old friend doesn't really get them now because they've mm-hmm. started this new life and she seems to live far away. And
I thought it was interesting that storyline with their old best friend Fasia. Fasia, I think Fasia.
Okay.
I mean, I might be wrong. I would love to be corrected. That's the hard part when it's in print. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I grew up mispronouncing so many words. Like, you read a book, unless you hear it, like, you're just like, well, I think this is right, mm-hmm. until somebody corrects me. But, you know, you have Tegan becoming really good friends with Noah. And unfortunately, Noah is also best friends with Avery. But you have that friendship forming, and it doesn't mean that Tegan wants to be Phasia's friend any less, But then, like, Sarah just keeps pushing back against it so hard because she feels like it's, like, this betrayal. I thought it was really interesting character arc because then, you know, at a later point, Tegan and Noah blow up and they, you know, that friendship just kind of dissolves. She even gives back Noah the best friend necklace. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God, I remember those, don't you?
I do. It seemed like the biggest deal in the world. I wanted a best friend necklace from somebody so badly.
Oh, you never got one? Oh,
I did
so
finally
many.
Get one. Oh, boy. Oh, well, you wanted I believe it. You're very charming.
Or it was like best friends forever, and I mm-hmm. wanted the forever part, but I didn't get that part. It's such a bummer.
Yeah. I think I finally got one or two.
Are you still friends with them?
Am I? No.
Yeah, same here. So they don't mean a lot.
No, they anymore. Don't.
But in that moment,
it seems like the biggest
deal. It is
deal.
Like everything. It is, because your friends are so important to your development and like the survival of,
they
the,
are.
Like, of the wild environment that is school.
So I had several friends in like elementary school, middle school, like in that era.
I feel like there's a elementary era and a middle school. Well, like, there's two separate entities.
No, I feel like 5th grade and 6th grade kind of...
Oh, they blur. They blur.
Yeah.
Blurred
that they blurred. Because I remember my friend Allison. We were in an elementary school together. I'm trying to remember. I believe that was... Yeah, because it was when I was at the private school. So I was, like, poor because my parents used, like, all their money to get me into a private school. But I'm, like, going to school with, like, rich kids. And Allison and I were, like... We'd have sleepovers a lot, and it was like, oh, this is so cool. Because her parents weren't, like, super rich. So my parents were like, yeah, go be friends with that one. We encourage this. She was also lived a lot closer to me. But anyway, I'd go over to her house, and there was one time she was like, I found this cool book. It was under my mom's bed. Do you want to read it with me? And I was like, okay, what can this be? And it was like some trashy romance novel talking about quivering and thrusting and like all this stuff. And I was like, I mean, you seem to be into this, so I guess I'll act like I'm into this. But I was just like, that sounds awful. I don't think I want that. But I like the way you're reading it to me. Like, it was...
Oh, so she's like a future like audiobook narrator?
I think so. I wonder what she's doing. Yeah,
future voice actor. That's
I'll have
job.
To look her
yeah,
up, see, look, see if yeah. that's what she's doing.
Oh, yeah, please do.
How wild would it be if she's a narrator of some of the books you like?
No.
No, you don't think
the
so?
The world is not that small.
No, you don't think so?
I don't think so.
No.
And also, I think you're insinuating that I read smut and I'm offended.
No, that's not what I was saying.
Oh, like she doesn't read smut like that.
Like she's just
like normal
books. An audiobook
oh,
narrator.
Oh, okay. Whew, I was like, well, I don't read that. No offense to anybody who's listening that
I
does.
I don't know. We found the basically sapphic equivalent of trashy romance novels
mm-hmm.
that we both found delightful.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
What were those? It was like Hellion's Waltz or something?
Yeah.
I don't remember the other ones.
The bee something.
Something about bees.
The
yeah.
Widower and the something. It's by Olivia Waite. It's pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Okay, so back to this. So I love that Tegan comments at one point that junior high is just drifting along, never knowing what's really going on.
Yeah.
I felt, I was just like, uh-huh, yep. Like, I was, like, head nodding, like, even
like
all these years
moment,
later.
Like, any moment, I'll figure this out, because mm-hmm. obviously everyone else has.
Yeah, it's really kind of the ultimate pretending game, and then you just keep pretending into high school.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
And then into life.
Well, yeah, but I think I think after, you know, in high school, you start figuring out some of it.
Mm.
And then you kind of fall into life like a bird mm-hmm. from a nest and you fly.
Or you
somewhat
don't.
Dangerously. Yeah. And you start to figure it out more and more, but like everyone's trajectory is different. And so, you know, at one point they're talking together. I liked those scenes where it's on white and they're each color and they were talking to each other.
Yes.
I thought that was a great, like, thematic, you know.
Because it was the
pairing. But then, anyways, they're talking and they're like, yeah, no more life-changing events.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everything stays the same. And I was like, ooh, You do wish that.
That's a hard no.
Yeah, but you do wish that so often, especially at that age. Mm-hmm. And then you think to yourself...
Well, because, like, everything changes. Yeah. Your body changes. Your friends change.
Their family was changing. Your family changes. And then they moved and the friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel like there's so much going on. So I get that. And you do feel like that. You feel like that sometimes as an adult. Mm-hmm. Nothing big, nothing major this year. Let's have a chill year.
Dude, haven't we said that, like, every year?
Yeah. I don't make New Year's resolutions anymore. I don't need to. The new year will do what it wants to me, and yes, I will survive it.
You will react accordingly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes well, sometimes
mm-hmm.
poorly.
Mm. But rest assured, we shall react.
In a timely manner.
Well.
But anyway, so yeah, so I just, that really summed it up, you know, because I think, you know, they call it junior high, but like middle school in general is just that really tough.
It's a tough life. Time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's because you have such, like, nobody in middle school is having a meh reaction. Everything is huge. Mm-hmm. Everything is a big deal. Everything is the worst and the best and the most.
Until something else happens. Yep. Then you're and over
then
it.
It's the next. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved that their parents were like, yeah, you can have a party with, because, you know, they're trying to encourage them to make friends and all that. And
they're like, are your parents going to be here the whole time? It's a middle school party. Yeah.
But I can't remember, was it Rashini? I can't remember who it was that brought snacks. And they were like, my mom insisted on making these gluten-free, nut allergy, but whatever snacks.
But I threw them in the bushes.
But he threw them in the bushes. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so middle school. Because my mom, like... In middle school,
they're gonna make a raccoon very excited later.
Oh, that raccoon's gonna be so angry / excited. But my mom would allow me to just ride my bike to my friends' houses that were near enough in middle school. But she was like, "You have to wear a helmet," and I was like, "Well, it's the end of the world if I wear a helmet."
Because your hair.
Yeah, because my hair, I wouldn't be cool.
You spend so much time on this hair.
No, I would just put it in a ponytail. I literally would do nothing to it. But it just seemed like the worst thing in the world to wear a helmet. But my mom wouldn't let me leave without it. So I'd pedal my little bike to the end of the block. And there were these huge, big, like, bushes. They were, like, evergreen bushes. And I would get... And they were literally at the corner. So I'd get there and I'd stop. Because you have to stop at the edge of the street. So even if my mom was watching, it's fine. And I'd take my helmet off and I'd throw it in the bush. And then come back, I'd pull it back out.
How far was this house that you were risking your brain matter being splashed across the sidewalk?
I know, it was a terrible, terrible idea.
You could have really caused some
damage. I really could have. I could have busted my brain open.
Yeah, brain matter leaking out.
I wear a helmet now anytime I ride a bike. Uh-huh.
But how long did you do this no helmet rebellion?
Oh, like all through middle school.
So
3 years.
Years yeah. of possible brain matter spread.
Yes.
Wow.
Don't follow my example. Don't.
No, that's dangerous.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed. Don't do it.
Were you riding at a high speed? Because you were a scrawny kid.
No.
So.
I was a very scrawny kid.
Yeah, so you were thinking maybe like 3 miles an hour. But
no,
still.
More than that.
But if a car hit you going much faster.
Oh, it would have been bad.
Yeah. Wow. I guess I need to be really grateful that you're here with me today.
Yeah. Yeah.
In your full mental capacity.
Well, as much as I have. But like, it's like those little things, like as a middle schooler, you're like, oh, panic, this will be bad. Let me do something weird, like throw it in the bushes.
Or like you want your parents to drop you off so you can just walk up like you didn't
like
have
you
a
somehow
ride.
Drove
like you live 10 miles away. Did you walk 10 miles in the snow?
Like when they were no. they were like asking their stepdad Bruce,
yeah.
can you
like,
drop
no.
us off like 2 blocks away? No, why?
I want to see you get in the building also so they don't cut.
Yeah, true. Yeah, no, don't. Well, they're not going to cut cut school. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm.
Let's talk about the fight over the period and the kiss secrets.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's the kind of drama that erupts, doesn't it? I mean, that was hard, but like, I get it. Like when you get your period for the first time, like when you're in that age range, like that just seems like this huge deal.
Becoming a woman.
Oh my gosh.
That does not make you a woman.
It
I
just,
don't really think
it
anything
does,
except being a woman.
Yeah. You just are.
Just be one.
Just be one.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's like Nike, just do it. Just mm-hmm. be one. I do remember when I first got my period, I think it was in between 6th grade and 7th grade. It was like in the summer. And I had such a a visceral memory, like a reaction to that memory of
the pain.
No, no, I just
and the murder. Sorry, different story.
I remember I'd been playing outside with my friend, and I went in to go to the bathroom, and I was like, why is there stuff in my underwear? There was also a piece of grass in my underwear. So, like, I wow. was like, who knows what this happened?
Yeah.
Who knows what I rolled around
so
in?
So, to be fair, I think you were more concerned that there was a bunch of stuff in going
there was, on. There was random stuff, unknown, alien
couple
stuff.
A couple of trinkets, a Lego, maybe.
No! No, that wasn't in my underwear. But, like, I was just like, well, that's weird. And, I was, like, really worried about it, but I kind of didn't want to ask my mom because I was, like, embarrassed.
That she had a bunch of stuff in your underwear. God, does she know this story?
I think she does.
This is a great
yeah.
holiday story yeah. over, like, a charcuterie board and wine. This is great.
So my mom didn't really ever use pads or panty liners that I was aware of. She only ever used, and I don't even know if they make them anymore. I'd have to look. But she only ever used OB tampons that had no applicator.
So for it was just sadistic people.
Yes. It was just a little tiny bullet.
I do have to ask, and yeah. not to be graphic.
Oh, okay.
Because we are, you know, insinuating, just shoving it up there.
Yes.
So why not just keep going?
Please.
Has
yeah.
your mother always had really long nails like she does
yes.
now?
Yes. My entire life that I remember she has, yeah.
That's. All of them? She didn't all have, like, one
no.
pusher-upper? That
no.
was okay.
No, I think she's just real careful. Just delicate. I don't know.
This is disturbing. I don't really know how to start that conversation. So I want to ask about your fingernails and putting up your tampons. Like,
I don't know what she uses now. I don't follow up with her. But at the time...
I don't think she uses anything now.
Oh,
because
yeah,
she's in her 70s.
Yeah, she's menopause. Yep, that happens.
No, but like, do you remember 30 years ago when you were...
when you were still...
Fertile.
Fertile. And having monthly amenses. But like, I was like, okay, well, obviously, this is what this is for. I'd gone through sex ed, and I was like, okay.
Wait,
so
you didn't even ask her? You just
no,
went?
I had locked myself in the bathroom, and I was like, so I'll just do it.
Hmm.
And I pull out, there's like a little folded up diagram and instructions. And I unfold it, and I just remember being just flabbergasted by the...
Female anatomy.
Yeah.
Yet you became
the instructions.
A lesbian.
I know. I got better at it, but I just was, like, really confused about it. And so I was like, okay, well, obviously it goes up there, and if it's meant to go up there, you should be able to just hurry up and push it up there. Wrong approach. And so I was like, well, I'll just push it in. It doesn't seem to want to go in. First of all, it's very difficult to figure out where to put it when you're already freaking out about, you know, grass in your
and
undies.
And if there's not a lot going on to slip it in.
Not a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I ended up trying to just powerhouse it in. And I fainted.
Mm.
I fainted, I fell off the toilet, and I woke up on the floor.
With undies off, still...
Just laying on the floor, undies around my ankles.
It's like a college experience many, many years beforehand.
No, no, no. But I never could get it up there, and I finally...
Did your mom find you?
No,
I just woke up on my own.
And I just, much like in the graphic novel, here's a bunch of toilet paper, let me shove it in there,
mm-hmm.
in the undies. My secret in middle school was you just wrap it around the underwear a whole bunch, and then
doesn't
it stays.
Doesn't that make it bunchier?
Oh, yeah, it wasn't glamorous.
Because now all the pants are so tight, you can't really get away with too
oh,
much.
Oh, I never liked tight pants.
I did like that the girlfriend, Vicky,
mm-hmm.
tried to help her out, but
she was sweet.
Yeah, she was like, oh, all the time, it happens to me when I least expect it. And I'm like, oh, but just the first time. You don't ever want to assume.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't know her well enough to say, hey.
Hey, is this your first time, sweetheart?
No, sorry. But no, for her to say, like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah. Well, but like, at that age, you're so embarrassed about everything. She just met her. I could understand why she wouldn't bring it up. And we'll be right back. And we're back.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, after the toilet paper wraparound,
mm-hmm.
like creation, because we all feel like we invented that.
Yeah.
When did you
necessity
tell your,
is yeah. the mother of invention.
When did you tell your parents that you needed something better?
I after the whole I think I tried the whole toilet paper thing for a few days.
Days?
Yeah, and then I had to talk to my mom because, like, she was going to see my underwear. Like, I can only get away with...
The toilet paper wasn't holding up. No. Did y'all buy, like, Charmin or, like, the... What's the really soft one with the lines in it? Cottonelle?
Yeah, like Cottonelle's the dream. People? Yeah.
Did you parents buy that? No. No, but you also weren't using, like, bought. Walmart toilet paper. Like, the not the kind they sell, but the kind that they have in their...
Oh, that super thin...
One ply?
Yeah. Half ply. What about you?
Yeah, so I had a... I had a pool party to go to couple days after I started my period.
Oh, no.
So, like, the pressure was on. And my mom got a tampon out of the box, fully in wrapper. And, like...
Did it have an applicator?
Yeah.
Okay, because, like, she wasn't a monster.
Tried to model how she put in tampons.
Oh, boy.
Like, with her clothing on. Okay. Thank God.
Yeah.
And, like, just... She's like, I just... And she put her leg up on the toilet. She's like,
see, that's what my mom tried to tell me.
And then I just insert it, and I'm like, that doesn't seem good.
Have you ever put a tampon in that way?
No.
Was it just our mothers doing that? Or were they panicking trying to show us something? Because I've never done that.
Maybe they Googled, or that was, well, some of it was before Google, where they just were like, what's the easiest way it is for unknown people or people who are unfamiliar with unknown people? For people unfamiliar with this.
But I'm just imagining there's some, like, wizened old lady at the mom's need help store. And the moms are like, what do I tell them? What do I say? Because they both came up with the same answer.
Long, gray, wavy hair. Mm-hmm. So they have, like, long, gray, wavy hair with this, like, bohemian long dress on.
I'm down.
And they carry around tea all the time. Yep. And they just lightly put their arm around them, their other arm that's not holding tea.
Oh, Laura, let me tell you.
This is what you tell them, my child. Mm-hmm. Go forth. And then they drink their always hot tea, but it's in a regular mug. Mm-hmm. That's sus. Okay, so anyway, so she did that, and I was like, uh-huh. And then she left, and I think really I just was not wanting to put something up there.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah. So
did you make it to the swim party?
No, I skipped it.
Oh. Yeah. See, my go-to for swim parties, because I didn't do tampons for years. I couldn't do it. Was I'd go to the swim party and I'd be like, I don't like swimming, and I just wear my clothes. And so I just sit and maybe put my feet in. That's what I would always do. But then, like, when I wasn't on my period, I liked swimming. So it really, that story didn't hold up to any amount of scrutiny.
Yeah. Well, you were a teenager, so it worked. Well. Yeah, I think it went well. when it's subtle, but it's snowing out, and Sarah holds Rashimi's hand.
Yes. Oh, that was sweet with their little mittens.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, both Tegan and Sarah are queer.
Love this for them.
I don't feel like you pick up on Tegan yet. Not really.
Yeah, no, not yet. Because Tegan's in this, you know, fiction is still figuring it out. That may be how it worked out in real life too. You know, I don't know how many liberties were taken there.
I'm sure they'll tell us the next one when there's more crushing.
Maybe. Because
nothing really happened with Rashimi and Sarah.
Yeah, but they
kind of told each other how they felt. The song.
Yeah, but that was really beautiful.
Yeah.
And, like, they both had, like, that little gay panic, like, where they're each kind of trying to tell the other person, you know, how much they mean to them, but neither one really comes out with it, and each one is so worried about, you know, how they're perceived that they don't really talk about it. I really... There was a line a little earlier in the book where Tegan, I believe it was Tegan and Sarah, were talking to each other, and they were frustrated. Like, why does having friends have to be so complicated? And I get that. Like, even as an adult, having friends is complicated because this is a whole other person with wants and needs and they don't always align with yours.
Or your family, since sometimes you have to put your family first.
Yeah, and I mean, that's... I feel like that's true from, you know, childhood through adulthood. having friends is complicated. And I think in a lot of ways it's more complicated as an adult because you don't have school to tie you, like, based on proximity to that other person. And you have to kind of come up with things to do together or reasons to talk to each other. And you have to make a whole lot more effort. And
outside of, like, the mandatedness of life.
Yeah.
Its requirements of you.
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know, it's just hard. That's why I always like if you can make work friends, because you're like, oh, well, I'm going to see you routinely. So this is cool. We've got it kind of built into, you know, the friendship there. But
I also liked there's a line where they're, I think it's Sarah who's thinking about Rashimi.
Mm-hmm.
And how she never thought about having an important person in her life that wasn't Tegan.
Yeah, that was really sweet.
Because I think there's a lot of twinness stuff
mm-hmm.
in the beginning of, like, mm-hmm. them thinking they can read minds and putting some of those, you know, preconceived notions and mm-hmm. myths to rest. But then, like, you really see, like, even when they're fighting and they come back together, like, yeah, like, there's going to be someone that's really yeah. important to me outside. Because they're, you know...
They're individuals. Yeah. They just happen to have this beautiful twins close is, I think, bond.
Naturally, a lot more closer.
Yeah, than, bond. I just yeah. can't talk it's bind. Closer, bond.
Or they shouldn't be binded. Anyway, but they're a lot closer bond. Yeah, yeah. As twins and as I think regular siblings.
Mm-hmm. I did love. Speaking of sweet moments, I loved when it was after like their friends first came over, and Avery was a total jerk and then left. And Bruce kind of took the girls aside and was like, hey, I don't know about that Avery chick. And they're like, yeah, what? She's awful.
She's awful. We hate her. Yeah.
We hate her. And he's like, okay, I just don't want her personality to rub guys. Off on you. You know, you need to stay sweet kids. And I was just like, oh, that's so sweet. Like, he's trying to.
Yeah, the parents were really good. And I feel like that, because I read their memoir a while mm-hmm. ago, and I feel like that kind of mirrors their parents and, like, from what I remember of the book.
Well, that's good.
Also thinking about the friend breakup with Noah after standing up to Avery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, friend breakups as a kid. And I say that
devastating.
I say kid. I mean, like, under 18. But yeah. even, you know, they're just so, like, truly devastating. And mm-hmm. in, like, the purest sense of what devastation is.
Yeah.
For you. And, like, mm-hmm. it is all-consuming. Because yeah. I think whether you're dating or not, or you're kind of loosely dating or this or that, you know, because like Noah and that other guy who ends up gay, not ends up gay, but yeah.
Was it Cato?
I think so. Not ends up gay, but he's
dating It turns Leo. Out they find out he's
right. Or he's dating queer. Leo. Yeah. yeah. So like, because you kind of, you don't expect to break up, but like, it's rare to marry someone that you dated in sixth grade. Like, yes. the end, right? So
It's even rarer for that than it would be high school sweethearts, which is itself rare. Yeah.
So, like, I think at any point in your, like, adolescent life, when you have a friend breakup, it hits you so much harder because you don't expect to go through that. And you, mm-hmm. to an extent...
Well, I mean, at that age range, a lot of times that's the first time it's happened.
I know, but, like, to an extent, you're blindsided, even if you're arguing. Because, you know, she goes back mm-hmm. and forth with Noah about Avery and just
it's
kind of...
It's been a few times.
Right, but kind of admits that she's just kind of go along to get along because mm-hmm. she likes that friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think even though to us it's like, well, it didn't come out of nowhere. Well, it does to her.
Yeah.
Because she's just had the last, you know, the kind of the last...
The last straw.
The final straw, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I love that in that drama unfolding, she said that it as hard as that was and as much as it hurt, she was really proud of herself
mm-hmm.
because, you know, it and it felt good to stand up to Avery. So, it was just really beautiful that she could kind of, even in that despair, that she could see, you know, the good that she did standing up for herself and her sister. I thought that was really beautiful. What did you think of when her mom said, their mom, was talking to Sarah, and she mentioned, was it her mom mentioning she had a friend crush?
Attraction yeah. to girls.
I was like, that was yeah, cool. That was interesting. That.
Yeah.
Was that in the book? The memoir?
I don't think so. But okay. I will say there's a connection with that with my life.
Oh, tell me more.
I came out to my mom and it went surprisingly well. She said all the right things. And then like the next day she threw the Bible at me, which was fun. But she said something.
Like physically?
No, like all the bad verses that people miss.
Oh, you mean all the mistranslations that shouldn't even be there?
Anyway, well, people misconstrue them. Anyway, but she was like, basically it said she thinks there's friendships that go too far. And I was like, oh. Like it was just the way she said it. Because she had a really close friend all throughout grade school.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, it was just, like I said, it was just the wording was weird. I didn't care to explore it because I was already trying to figure out how to get away from her in that moment. And so it's just something I think about every once in a while.
Yeah.
But anyway, what do you think is going to happen in the next one? And I'm curious to see maybe how many are kind of planned. And now I realize why it says Tegan and Sarah Junior High, because that's the title of the book. It's not just Junior High. Because then the next one will be Tegan and Sarah Crush. And then it's by Tegan Quinn and Sarah Quinn and Tilly Walton. So, because I was saying earlier before we started, why is it Tegan and Sarah? And also Tegan Quinn and Sarah Quinn. We get it. And I was like, oh.
Now you got it. We just needed some time to reflect properly.
But they're definitely queer icons. So I think, you know, it'll hopefully turn on a younger generation to their music. And
I hope so,
impact and their journey is, again, another amazing pair of Canadians, you know. Just keep turning them out, you know, up there.
I mean, there's some good, this is, that country really produces a lot of top quality folks.
They really do. They're doing something right.
They're doing something right. I really, really related to when Sarah was questioning her self-worth. When, you know, she's seen others and she's like, everybody seems to like know what they want and what they're interested in. Like, why would Rashini even be interested in me when I don't know what I want?
And she said she can't even order at restaurants or pick out her clothes. And I was like, wait, but I still have trouble ordering at restaurants and picking out my clothes.
Exactly.
So that was kind of a hard realization that I guess I need to get better at that.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe I don't. Maybe that's just...
This is a lifelong problem of ordering in public and putting together...
But life's difficult. Oh, I think my favorite line of the book was something to the effect of, I think it was Tegan and Sarah talking to each other, and they were like, I give 7th grade 2 stars, not as described.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that seems about right.
I think for all of middle school.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely feel that for a lot of different things. But anyway.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen in the next one?
I hope to see Tegan have a big crush.
Mm-hmm. I want to see Sarah's crush go somewhere.
Yes. I would love to see that blossom.
Cause they had an end of year dance.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they go to like a winter dance or something.
That could be cool. Ooh, wouldn't it be great if they were playing at the winter dance?
Mm. Yeah, we didn't talk about that. I loved the hiding the guitar thing from Bruce, but
I was so worried somebody was going to drive over the guitar.
I will, because they put it under her car. I was a little like curious why.
Because they didn't ask.
Well, then just say, can we use your guitar?
They should have, yeah.
Like, I found this. Look, I don't remember what she was looking for.
I think she was... I don't remember either, but yeah, she's looking for...
She found it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that... Yeah, they
could play. But aren't we glad?
Yes.
Because then you get the amazing... What was it? Gunk? Their band Gunk?
It's pretty great.
Grunge and punk. The things we think are cool in middle school.
Oh, yeah.
So. What did you think was cool in middle school that now you're like, oh, geez... I mean, I still thought Trapper Keepers were the coolest thing.
I don't know what that is.
But I have one. Trapper, it's in our bedroom.
A Trapper Keeper?
Do I need to go get it out and show you?
Just describe it. What's a Trapper?
So they were the binders that had like the Velcro that would shut.
Oh, that closed.
And they had really cool designs all over them.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, I know what that is.
I found one and I had to buy it a few years ago.
So I, the year that I started, I went to Old Navy a lot because I thought their clothes were cool.
I did too. And that, like, was my Old Navy phase.
Polos, like striped polos were in, like three-quarter sleeves.
Yeah.
And so I wore one my first day with like dark jeans, and I thought it was so cool. Also, I thought that I had to like straighten my hair, but I walked to school, so my hair exposed to the elements always makes it poofy. So like there was even times that I would move your microphone back, walk outside, expose my hair to the elements, and come back inside and fix it. Like, so that was so that was a thing that I felt like maybe just growing up as a girl always felt like I had to have perfect hair. Like, that was stressful. And I spent so much time on my hair that I wish I could get back.
Okay. I'm going to share something with you. In middle school, so this is the same era when I was wearing that denim jumper dress that you desperately want to see a picture of. Because
That's in now.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, gosh.
It just depends what it looks like, I guess.
It
maybe a cooler version of it would be in.
Well, it had, like, white plaid pattern on it. It was weird. But anyway, I would curl my hair every morning. I would try
maybe
to curl. Roll
over because my hip is hurting. But, yeah, I'm still hip and cool.
I would curl my hair every morning. And because, like, it was the only way I could make it look halfway decent, but I was so bad at it. And then later I got my hair cut shorter. And then the thing that I was, like, super into was blue mascara. I wore blue mascara, like, every single day. I don't know that anyone could tell, you know?
I remember you telling me that. Yeah, the color mascara was really in. That was a cool thing.
Well, and then just like I had a friend who had purple.
And I couldn't even wear like makeup. I could wear concealer. Mm-hmm. And then I could wear clear mascara. That was like my jam.
Clear mascara?
Yeah, so like your eyelashes.
What does it do?
It just makes them look perfect without adding color. So I just have these perfect eyelashes.
I've never heard of this.
I don't think they make it anymore because moms are not as strict now. But yeah, so that was a thing. Okay, so you ready to rate it?
Yes.
I feel like 4.5 stars. I'm just so curious about why they didn't address why they didn't put it in the 90s. Like, I need to know.
I'm telling you why.
Don't know that that's the real answer. Like, I understand your justification, but like, for me as a curious human, I need to know. And I don't even know that I would agree. I think.
So even if they gave you an answer, you might still be like,
correct.
Nah.
Oh, 4.5 rainbows. Sorry, it's been a minute.
Oh, good grief.
I know. You think I'd remember.
I'm going to... I think I'm also going to have to... I feel like I go 5 too much. I think I need to be stricter for them to mean something. So I think 4.75 rainbows.
Okay.
Because it's more than 4.5.
But why? You have to explain.
Oh. Well, I mean, I enjoyed it. I really loved the characters. I think it wasn't quite as compelling as some of our other reads. Like, it's not a heartstopper. Like, I
nothing's gonna be a heartstopper.
I know, but like, for that's me like to be so right. compelled, I want to be a part of the characters' lives, and I didn't quite feel that here.
I feel like too, and this is no fault of really, I guess, anyone's, but like, Tilly Walden's books are usually very long and detailed, and by like early on, you feel like you really know these characters, so there's time to grow with them.
I kept getting confused about who some of the tertiary friends were.
Yeah, so I just feel like, you know, like with Spinning, that's her memoir, and then like On a Sunbeam was just beautiful.
I loved that one, yeah.
Are You Listening was really powerful. So I just feel like, I know some of her books are kind of geared more toward the 13 and up range because of the themes, but so I just felt like this was maybe too short. Like, I feel like it was well developed, but I feel like I could have seen, or I could have like really seen there. Yeah, I could have seen a couple more chapters being included.
To like I could set see that. Up, I could appreciate
set up the next
that.
One. So I think, again, and it's not Tegan and Sarah's fault. I just, like, when I found out it was by Tilly Walden, I was like, well, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I just love her stuff. Yeah, I think she's really this phenomenal human.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so our January book is the fifth volume of Heartstopper.
Oh my gosh!
And if you've missed the news, there will be a sixth volume of Heartstopper.
Thank goodness.
Not announced when. So we will be following that.
And until next time,
we're all queer here.
Absolutely.